All right, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Yeah, I can't see the screen. All right, okay. Just going through some technical things here. I think we got it. So now that I can see all of you, can you hear me? That's a yes. Okay, good. All right, so again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll actually backtrack just a little bit. Last week, we covered quite a bit and went fairly rapidly over the last few verses in chapter 2, so I want to just back up a little bit and do those verses a little more justice than we did last week. And what caught my eye in the text we'll go through this morning, which is from verse 13 of chapter 2 on through verse 5 of chapter 3, what caught my eye or my attention this week was the idea of standing fast, which we touched on just briefly last week. Standing fast, standing solid, and also being established by the Lord. And very important in this time when we are more restricted than we have been. And there's so much coming at us that is not certainly not necessarily of the Lord, and it affects our decision making and you know, as different people, even within our fellowship, as we react to things in different ways, there can be chances for discord and frustration and all kinds of things, and at the same time a lessening of our fellowship and being encouraged and strengthened in our faith. And you know, that's just not a great combination. So we have a chance to really we're facing a time where the challenge is to stand fast and not just stand but keep progressing. And I really believe that we as a group, I see so much good fruit and growth and progressing in our walks with the Lord. And my desire is that we continue to grow and flourish in our faith. And so part of that's going to be standing fast on what we know and who we know. And that is the Lord and His Word. So a little review just quickly on some of what we've covered in 2 Thessalonians and also 1. But a reminder, this letter, the second of Paul's letters to this young church. Paul wasn't there. Paul, Timothy, Silas, they didn't spend much time there, just a few weeks. The church faced persecution and trouble right from the start. And we saw it in 2 Thessalonians in particular. Earlier on, they were facing persecution and affliction that was severe, extremely severe, to the point where, along with some false teaching, caused some of them to wonder, are we in the great tribulation? Have we missed the rapture? Paul's answer was, no, you have not missed this. He went on to explain some reasons, evidences why they hadn't. He also told them in chapter 1, even this affliction, God will use it to be glorified Himself and also be glorified in your lives, cause you to grow. It has a purpose. And so the instruction to the Thessalonians was not to run away from the trouble they face, but to stand up under it. And so this letter, a good chunk of it is an encouragement to continue doing so. And Paul addresses, you know, what false teaching he was aware of, because that unsettles, would have been unsettling them in their faith. And this is something that I believe we should take note of too. Of falsehood, it's good to be able to recognize it as we compare, you know, what's coming in or coming at us, to whether it's true or not, so that we can decipher it properly and not get unsettled. If we start believing things that are wrong or not true, it does have an unsettling effect. So we'll talk a little more on that as we go on. Okay, Paul also, he talked to them about the end. We talked to them about a bit about the Great Tribulation, what that would look like. I like the fact that after talking to them about that, Paul brings it around to very much the present for them and encouraging them to carry on and carry on well and stand fast. And this is good to note as well, I believe, because there's some things like, say, end times and, okay, the rapture, when's the rapture going to happen, and when's this event and that event of end times going to happen. It's good to have convictions and study and try and understand. Very important, however, is the life day by day in following the Lord and abiding in Him and understanding His truth as it applies now, being, you know, living sacrifices, as Paul says in Romans, not conforming to the world, as he says there as well. So I like the fact that Paul, you know, he taught them much about the end times and what to look forward to and what not to look forward to. But very much a lot of encouragement as to how are you doing now and how can you continue doing well. And so that's really what our text is today. And, you know, in these things that there is some debate, we're to have grace to each other. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, when it comes to the end times, certainly one part of my position of where things land, like say the rapture, I think it'll be before the tribulation. If it's not, I'll definitely go with what God has decided. I'll happily admit that I'm wrong and go with his plan. And if I am wrong on that, it won't be the first time I've been wrong on something, unfortunately, but it's true. So good to have the convictions and the hope, and we should be hoping for the Lord's return. Whenever that happens, be caught up with Him. Now, our text today, there's a call to stand fast. And a question in that is, well, one is on what and for who or whom do we stand fast? And today there are many stands being taken. They're all over social media, if you haven't noticed. And some may be worth taking a stand on, some hills are worth dying on, some definitely are not. And we don't want to be those who are dying on hills that no one's asked us to hold, if you will, or stand on. But certainly we are asked by the Lord to take a stand for Him. So we'll look at that this morning. And, you know, our text today will not tell us the specifics of some things that might be going around in our society as to what we should or shouldn't do. But very much there is an encouragement as to how to live, where to look for our wisdom and resources, and how to proceed in confidence in God and in His Word, and also in all things to be loving and gracious. So, before I start, could I ask one of my kids for a glass of water, please? Thanks. verse 13 of chapter 2, 13 to 15. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. So, the Thessalonian church, it was young, but they were counted among those who heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the cross, Jesus shedding his blood for sin, and also his resurrection, and they accepted that. They received the gospel. They did not reject it. And as such, as those who put their faith in Jesus, they were saved and they were sanctified. We've talked about this a few times. Salvation is by faith in our Lord Jesus, in his shed blood, in the cross, the resurrection. Along with salvation comes sanctification, that being set apart and being set apart unto God or for his use. So we are saved, we are seen as righteous, we have right standing before God. While we live this life, we still have this battle with flesh and sin. But there is the process of sanctification. We have the position of being sanctified through Jesus. We live in this process of being sanctified where we seek to obey and conform or be transformed, really, into the Lord's image. But it is a process, and it's a process that won't be finished and complete and perfect till that day when we are with him. Then we will be completely sanctified. There will no longer be a battle with sin. I like the sanctified means holy as well, so we're seen as holy or righteous. I like the thought process in set apart, and it's very much the meaning of being sanctified. But that picture of the Old Testament, the tabernacle, the vessels that were designated as set apart unto the Lord. So I like to carry that thought in my mind. This is a fact. As those who are saved by faith, we are designated set apart unto the Lord. And then in this life, it becomes the, okay, how do I live what I am? One set apart. And therein lies the challenge. But the Lord is not surprised that this is a challenge. He's been working with humanity for a long time. So we're not the first to struggle. We'll not be the last. And so we need very much the Holy Spirit to lead and direct us, to help us in this process of living out who we are. So through faith, we have salvation, we're sanctified, and like the Thessalonians, we are those, hopefully, who very much believe the truth, the Word of God. And these things being the case, and we go through this text assuming that this is the case. That's what Paul does with the Thessalonians. He assumes this is the case. If it's not the case, this is something that has to be addressed first, whether or not we accept the gospel or not. So, this being the case, we're to stand fast, which means to persevere, persist, or keep one standing. And this is very much dependent on holding onto God's word. And so, just thinking, we are those who are saved, we're those set apart. Standing fast is very much keeping our standing, like living out who we are. If it was really easy, we wouldn't have all the encouragements to stand fast. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God so that you may stand, and having done all to stand. Like, there's Scripture gives us a picture of a battle, and we're going to feel like falling on the battlefield at times. We may fall. We're to get up. We're to stand. And through the Lord's help. So, it is a battle. In a battle, it's good to have a battle plan, or know what's going on. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Many of you know these verses. I'll read them. So in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, as we experience the love and grace of God, our reasonable response, I like the way it's put here, our reasonable response is, really, it's to obey Him. Give our lives as an offering to Him. Jesus sacrificed His life for us. What we're called to do is offer our lives back in return in obedience to Him. So for Him and for His kingdom. And you know, sometimes we get mixed up as to whether we're to live for our kingdom or His kingdom. Very much we're to live for His kingdom. And then you know, those needs that we have, Jesus talks about that in Matthew 6. We're not to worry about all the needs. The Lord will look after those things as we seek His kingdom first and foremost. But it's easy to get off track. It's easy to battle sometimes to understand what exactly that should look like day to day. But a reasonable service to our Savior is to offer our lives back to Him. It is hard. Verse 2 in Romans 12 identifies both the primary problem and also the solution. The problem is our tendency to conform to the world. And the solution is there as well. We are to have our minds renewed. We're to be transformed by having our minds renewed. I'll read verse 2 again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as our minds are renewed by the Lord, which is primarily through His Word and through the Holy Spirit working in our lives, then we are able to test and improve. We're able to know, then we're able to figure out how to honor the Lord and live life, really would be a paraphrase of that. On the other hand, if we're conforming to the world, it's so confusing. There's so many messages, so many promises from the worldly perspective, and so much lack of delivery. You follow a road thinking it'll have a certain end and find out that there's nothing at the end. More pain and confusion and head down another road. But the world, however you want to look at it, but that worldview that does not include God or His kingdom or His kingdom advancing or eternity in heaven, doesn't include the fact that we are saved and sanctified, set apart. You know, if we start having too much of that mindset, it just, you know, it creates a lot of confusion. And it's part of that battle. We find we're not doing what we want to do as far as obedience to the Lord. And we're doing that which we don't want to do, as Paul talks about in Romans 7. So, back to standing fast and the battle. Our enemy wants us to conform to the world's image, which is primarily a self focused image. It's a build our own kingdom kind of thing. It's a definitely a leave the Lord out. And so that's what the enemy wants. Conform to what the world says. The Lord wants, well, He actually offers free of charge to transform us into His image. So that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. The offer is be transformed. Have your mind renewed. Take all the confusion and the twisted up lies on, you know, in some respects, we very much use the harsh term of lies, just the lies that pour at us, and maybe less harsh, but still accurate, is just confusion and doublespeak and just contradictory messages and hope that doesn't deliver. So, part of the battle is knowing who's talking, what are we listening to? And we want it to be the Lord, and we want to be transformed and renewed, not conformed to the world. So, we need to discard the lies and be renewed with the truth and realize having, you know, those worldly ideas and desires replaced with the Lord's. And I do believe it starts with that commitment. Okay, I know I'm saved. I know also I'm sanctified, I'm set apart, I'm committed to living who the Lord has called me to be, albeit a struggle at times, and I do desire to be that living sacrifice. I do desire to offer the Lord my life. And without a commitment, without a vision, this is where I know I'm called to go. It's pretty hard to get there. And this is one of the things we talk about as we seek to grow in our walk with the Lord and be disciples and disciples others, is we need to have some understanding of what it is to grow and what it is to grow and mature and be one who can actually be a disciple. We need to know what that looks like and how to share that with others. Now, back to our text here. So Paul says to the Thessalonians, hey, you're saved, you're sanctified, you believe the truth. I'm encouraging you to hold on to that truth, stand fast, practice it. John 16, 17, I'm going to turn there. It's a short verse, but sometimes we wonder, is God's word really true? Can I trust it? And there's so much information coming at us or opinion that would say, did I get the wrong reference? I might have. Anyways, I'm not going to look it up because I got the wrong reference, I think. But Jesus said, if you want to know if my word is true, put it into practice. And when it comes down to God's instruction, we can receive it, and then there comes a time when we have to choose, am I going to obey it or not? And that's the faith part. Am I going to put into practice? And sometimes we can theorize about whether, you know, or rationalize, is this going to work or not? God's commands, it's best to have a desire to obey them, and then when we understand what it is he wants us to obey, just as quickly as possible, obey and not debate with him on it. And we'll see that he is trustworthy. He is faithful. So in this time, I believe we must be very diligent to go to God's word for instruction and perspective and seek his counsel day by day. And whether it's, you know, things that are immediate and we have to decide today, or whether it's building our relationship with the Lord and growing in our knowledge and understanding and equipping for what we might face tomorrow or in a month, it's good to have that consistency of seeking the Lord. It's hard to stand fast if we don't know what we're standing fast on. So as we have God's word solid within us, understanding it, we can know, okay, I need to stand firm on this. I can't be shaken on this. Verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. As we resist conforming to the world and our minds are renewed, and that is really part of the process of standing and standing firm, we find our comfort and hope in the Lord. In fact, here we see we're promised everlasting consolation. So comfort and hope in whatever life throws at us. And Paul mentions being established in every good word and work. So that's a picture of strength and the Lord behind us. Sometimes it feels like we're all alone. We're the only one or ones. It's not true. If we were and are the only one, the Lord is still with us. And we're not alone. We have many brothers and sisters. But the key point is the Lord is with us, and he will establish our word and our work. Now, it is important to note that this is when we are seeking him, resisting that conforming to the world, and we're standing fast on him. There's times when what we build doesn't stay established very well because we've built it according to the world's plan or purpose, or we've been conforming to that, and you know, we need to rebuild. Sometimes things need to fall down so that we can rebuild with the Lord's direction and help. But trust me, he wants us to be solid and stand fast and strong. And as we seek him, he's going to help us do that. It's important to understand that the Lord has not abandoned us at any time. He loves us. He wants us in heaven with him. Jesus died for us. He died for each one of us as individuals. And I just think about that. Like, he loves us that much. He wants us to stand. He doesn't want us to be fearful or anxious or confused. The Lord's desire is for us to be secure, solid, comforted, have peace. There'll still be trouble and trial, but our strength, our hope in Him, that is His desire and hope for us. And when it comes to this too, being in the battle and standing fast and being established, you know, I was thinking about this, and one of the things that I notice in Scripture, just, you know, as we look at the big picture of Scripture as well as some specific parts, is the place to find comfort or peace is not on the sidelines or off in the shadows somewhere, so to speak. The place to find victory and really even joy and strength and peace, the peace of the Lord, is on the battlefield. It's as I look at Scripture, I was thinking of that this week with this passage. That's very much, it's what we're called to. And where we see the Lord's peace and hope offered, we look at the context in many places, and the Thessalonian church is one of them. All these encouragements that are being offered them, these are in the midst of severe trouble, trial, persecution, affliction. And the instruction is not to run away and find peace or find hope, or it's have, you can have it here. The Lord is pleased with you where you are. This is not a punishment with the Thessalonians. This is where they're at. This is what they're going through. And God will be glorified, was glorified in them. And their faith grew. And so while it's not a popular message, perhaps, hey, true joy and the true peace of the Lord comes in the storm. And so I can think of, some of you might be able to relate to this, I can think of some of the times where that were the most pleasant, and I'm thinking back being on the ocean for extended periods. But if you ever had the chance to be out in a severe storm, and where it's just, you know, the winds and the waves are just wild and the danger level is high, and then sometimes you can just sneak through a little channel or pass and get into a harbor, and it's flat. It's just, it's calm. Everything's peace. But the wind is still howling through the trees or whatever it might be. But there's this, it's a wonderful feeling to be out of, to be in the storm, but out of the storm for some reprieve. And I believe this is what the Lord offers us, is these, is a place of refuge even in the challenges of life, where we can be in the storm, in the trial, the affliction, but we can have His kind of peace in the midst of it. And it's not to say that everything is pleasant. And there's not a lot, I don't believe, pleasant in the actual fact of persecution. But our source for hope, peace, joy, all these things, is to be the Lord, not our circumstances. And that's really often where we get confused, is what we really, what the world searches for is the comfort of circumstance rather than the comfort of the Lord. And the thing is, a person can spend their whole life looking for the comfort of circumstance, but the storms will come. it's part of life. So what is life built on? Well, we know it's to be the rock of God's word. Okay, chapter 3, first couple verses. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Paul and those with him, they asked for prayer. If Paul needed prayer, I suspect we could use it as well. It's good to pray for each other. And there's so many things to pray about and for. But one of them certainly is that we would stand fast on God's word, honor him with our lives, and that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, would proceed, or as it's put in our text, may run swiftly, that it would go. And even as in the early church, persecution intensified, the gospel ran swiftly. As people spread, the gospel just spread. As they got dispersed, the gospel got dispersed. They didn't abandon their faith. And so this is something we should pray for too, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, would advance. So Paul asked for prayer, and we know he was a guy who was in the battle, faced lots of persecution. The enemies of the gospel were constantly after him. He suffered much. Those who were with him suffered much. A lot of the early church suffered much. I believe, as Paul says here, he asked for prayer. He asked for the gospel to move swiftly. He asked for deliverance from unreasonable and wicked men. I believe his hope was that all would be saved. That was his primary hope. And certainly within that, there would be deliverance from persecution. If your persecutors turn to Christ, they will no longer persecute you. Paul knew that from experience, didn't he? As one of the primary opponents of the gospel, he became one of the primary evangelists and church planters when he turned to Christ. And so, for us, I believe we need to pray. We need to ask for prayer. There are, you know, there's a lot of fear in our society today. Whether it's justified or not, it's there. So, there's a lot of confusion, disputing. Churches are closed. I believe Satan's delighted. And, you know, just bring it around to us and where we're at. You know, I think we're called to obey our authorities. I also believe we are called to assess where they get their direction from. Know, who's writing their script, if you will, and take that into consideration. If they don't have faith, as Paul says, not all have faith, we should pray for our leaders. We should pray for their salvation or deliverance from them, perhaps both, right? And, you know, I look at our text and what those Christians would have been going through, and I see what's happening here. I think in many ways what they were going through would be considered far more severe. But anytime we see God's church being, you know, forcibly shut down, whatever the reason might be, I do believe that should be grave. Like, we should have grave concern over that. And so, something to pray about, that this would stop, and that also we would have wisdom as to how to conduct ourselves in this, and, you know, where do we take a stand, and when, those types of things. Don't want to conform to the world, but we want to obey the Lord. So we know we live in a time when not all have faith, and we're under the rule in many ways of those who do not have faith, and the rules reflect that. The question is, we can't do much about them. We can try and get the gospel out there. But the question that we can answer is, do I have faith? So with where I am right now, do I have faith? First of all, faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation, and then faith for the day. Okay. Lord, grant me faith for today, for tomorrow. Help me to have faith in my decision making, that I would not be conforming to the world, but be offering you my life today. I think that's a very valid question. And one of the things I find, and I think this is something that we can enjoy as followers of Christ, as Christians, when we take steps of faith and we're trusting in the Lord, there's a strength and a power that is beyond us. And being in the battle and knowing that the Lord, knowing that we're in the right battle, that we're taking stands for the Lord, being over a wide range of things. There's all kind. If we were to break it down, there's all kinds of battles in life, if you will. Challenging decisions and so on. Steps of faith with the Lord's guidance. They're very, I find, invigorating. Like, there's an excitement. There's a being in the battle, not being off on the sidelines. And so, as Christians, we're called very much to live as those with faith and be established by the Lord, which, let's read verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So, in this time, whatever's going on, and with COVID, regardless of COVID, there's all kind of, some of us have challenges. There's health, there's relational things, there's just all kinds of stuff. There's the personal battles as we try and live as those sanctified. The Lord offers to establish and guard us. So, I believe this is something that should be at the forefront of our attention, is am I, or how can I be established and guarded by the Lord who is faithful? Establish in our text, or will establish, means to make stable or place firmly or strengthen. Again, this points to the Lord desires us to be strong, stable, firmly placed, not shaken, not blown about. It happens. I realize that. I experience it. We all do to some degree at times. But when we're shaken, my hope is that we realize we don't have to be shaken. You know, the Lord offers us something more solid than that. So going to Him and going, why, Lord, why am I shaken? Why am I unsettled in this? And asking Him to help us understand and know where to trust Him. And He knows what's going on in us better than we do ourselves. So He wants us to be stable. I find it... I think one of the messages I hear from our culture right now is that we should accept fear and suspicion as the new normal. This is not; these are not godly characteristics. We're not called to live that way. We're called to trust Him. So as we go to His Word, we can identify how and where to trust Him. and he will establish and guard us. And I understand, because I go through the process myself at times. You know, there are things that unsettle us, things that are somewhat fearful. And here's something I believe is important, is that with our fears, we go to the Lord to trust him and find peace, as opposed to just trying to make everything safe. I think one of the lies that gets thrown at us is that life should be safe. And if it doesn't feel safe, you need to make it safe for you. And if everybody's doing that, it gets a little, let's just say there could be some conflict and apprehension. But if we look at Scripture, Scripture doesn't seem to promote that. It promotes life of peace. It promotes eternal life, abundant life, joy, victory. But I had a quick look at Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. And we admire them. They're the heroes of faith, or some of them are listed there. They don't live very safe lives, but they are credited as those who had faith. So they had faith in the challenge that they were presented, or challenges, and they were established by the Lord. And so I believe God is gracious enough to allow us to go through challenges and give us opportunities to have faith as well. And so my hope is that we stand fast.